Collective welcomes you. Show countdown engaged. You now have 60 seconds to prepare yourself. Begin program.
And we have the honor and privilege of sitting next to one of the greatest actors that is in our time, John Rhys-Davies. Thank you so much for being on our stage today.
Now all I have to do is live up to that.
Well, I'm going to jump right in because for me, and growing up in my childhood, and still to this day, is Salah from Indiana Jones. And the reason that he is, and I'm not saying this just because you're on the stage, but Salah is my favorite character besides Indiana Jones, because without Salah, Indiana Jones would be dead. If without him, there would be no Indiana Jones 2, no Indiana Jones 3. Salah saved his life, and without, he's always been the, I wouldn't say sidekick, because you're your own character.
Well, he is indeed a sidekick.
Isn't you he? Think so? Okay.
But he is, in some ways, he is his own man. The franchise really never got to grips with him. The Salah who is thoughtful and fun, but also, you know, a rescuer, an anticipator of danger in the first one, is slightly a buffoon in the second one. And basically because Hollywood really doesn't know quite how to deal with a character like a Salah. When you think about it, Salah is, in fact, probably the most popular Egyptian / Arab in Western culture for the last 40
years. I agree.
That is true.
And Hollywood is just doesn't quite understand what that means. So mm-hmm. We have to laugh at him rather than laugh with him, perhaps. But it was a great journey. And of course, I mean, these are such rollicking, great movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I saw the first one, and that you remember that opening of Raiders of the Lost Ark with the great rolling ball, mm-hmm. you know, and the
switching.
This one.
Yeah.
It's like this one.
That opening scene, I watched it in the cinema for the first time, and my heart sank. I thought, oh, how can one ever top the opening of a film like that? I've never seen an opening like that. And then it did.
Yeah.
I mean, what genius and creativity, and just to be part of that was glorious. Sorry, that was a long answer.
I'm sitting here like
perfectly.
Yeah.
We're just
talking,
like,
John.
We're just like this.
Yeah.
And he also had some of the best quotes in the movie, like, you know,
bad dates.
Yes, yes. Bad dates. Or what is with this junior? That's my favorite line.
Yes, yes, yes.
In The Last Crusade.
He's called Henry Jones Jr.
Oh.
Indiana was the dog.
Indiana.
You are named after the dog?
That is my favorite line in that movie.
I love that dog.
Yeah, we had fine memories of that dog.
Well, let's jump in, because a lot of people here want to hear a little bit about the Lord of the Rings. Did you have a question, Rachel?
Well, what I wanted to know is, like, there was a swath of, like, amazing lines that came off of, you know, Peter Jackson and Fran Walsh, the combination that they had. So what would have been the most amazing line that you got to say and one that you would have preferred based off of, you know, what you brought to the character of Gimli? Because he's like, you really made him a chronicler in a way in that films.
They were, first of all, just turning The Lord of the Rings into a screenplay was the most extraordinary challenge, and one that almost everybody else said, you can't do it. I mean, just think about it. Everything is wonderful, and then there's a little cloud on the horizon, and then something goes a little bit wrong, and then there's a little bit of a fight, and then there's a skirmish, and things really start to look a little bit unpleasant, and then it gets worse, and then it gets bad, and then it gets really bad, and then, you know, you've got this constant, you can't shape that book into the sort of the rhythms that we would require in film. And the fact that they did it alone was the major thing. For me, the major problem would be if I don't believe, you know, that the hobbits are small and not looking like Darby O'Gill and the Little People or something like that. You know, jolly little leprechauns, Jesus running around like that. If the audience can't believe that, then we haven't got a film. And I remember watching one of the first screenings in the screening room with Ian McKellen sitting next to me, and it was that scene where Gandalf comes into the village on his cart, and a little Frodo jumps up beside him, and he came in, and a little Frodo jumped up beside him. And both of us went, and I said, how the devil did you do that? And he said, I don't know. But it was believable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean, no question about it, Peter Jackson had genius, courage beyond belief, vision beyond belief, and an ability and a passion to completing it. I think it's one of the major feats of filmmaking of the beginning of the 20th century, really.
I would agree with that.
And more than that, he created an entire film industry to service his vision.
That's very true.
How was it,
you're obviously a tall guy, how was it playing a short character?
Well, you see, first of all... The old gags are the worst gags. It was great. I found the inner dwarf.
Yeah.
And the inner dwarf is in all of us, especially you. But when you find the inner dwarf, you find the inner heart of a powerful man. And you know why we like Gimli so much? Because in some ways, he is the most human character of the lot.
He's definitely the most honest out of the entire kind of fellowship, because he's like no frills. This is how it is.
But he's capable of change.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, just look at us individually and have a bit of inner reflection. Do you know how resistant we are to changing our opinions or reassessing a situation that we know where we stand on this? And that inflexibility, A, gives us a certain strength, yes, but it also can lead us into a blind alley of opinionated bigotry sometimes. I only speak of myself, not of you, but it is true. And And Gimli, in some ways, is all that is bad in us, all that we sort of despise in ourselves. He's, you know, he's xenophobic, suspicious, hostile, and aggressive. There's sometimes a meanness of spirit there. And yet, the other thing is that he is as loyal a friend as you could hope to be. Mm. He sees that the protection of little people, and effectively children, as being part of his duty as a man. That's a reminder that all men should have, you know. You want to define being a grown-up? A grown-up is someone who will protect children. All children. And he's got that wonderful ability to actually adapt and learn and finally, of course, there's that matchless courage of his, you know. I mean, that certainty of death, small chance of success. What are we waiting for? And that there's a wonderful innocence there. One of the reasons we find him funny is that he doesn't realize he's small. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as he's concerned, you know.
Biggest personality there.
Yeah. But I mean, I just love that. I just love all those wise forebodings that he has at the beginning. They say that in that wood there is a witch so strong and powerful that if a man but looks upon her, he is never the same again.
Mm.
Of course, he meets Galadriel.
Right.
Yes.
And he never is the same again.
No. Yes, sir. One of the questions I'd like to ask about Lord of the Rings is during the pandemic, you guys, speaking of friendship, did a Zoom call together. How was that getting the band back together? How was that feeling? Because I remember watching it because we all were in lockdown during the pandemic, and I remember seeing it. And I remember you grab your helmet and you put your helmet on and you squirt out, and you could just see their eyes light up like. It was like a family. It was literally like watching a family. What was your take on being able to do that again?
Well, we knew that we had to do something just to raise people's spirits, actually, and probably to raise our own spirits. I have to say, I had the best time of all in the lockdown. I found myself stuck in my home on the Isle of Man with 20,000 books, 1,800 classical CDs, only 6 acres to walk in, views to the sea and to Cumbria, Scotland, and on a very clear day, Ireland, and the right to walk down to the beach. It was hell, darlings, it was hell. And no one to tell me what to do.
I'm so sorry you had to deal with that, sir.
I suffered, by God. But there were other people. I mean, I know of one couple who have a small child, and they're living in a very small single-bedroom apartment with strangers and vagabonds actually sleeping on the stairs to get up to the apartment. You know, you're in lockdown in circumstances like that. Mm. You know, you really know that it's a major, major crisis and damaging to your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
But it was great fun to get back together. And
it sure looked like it. Yeah. It looked like it was one of the best times in your guys' life. And you brought a lot of people's spirits up, I will tell you that. But
that's good.
From me, my perspective, as soon as I saw it, and then when you grabbed the helmet, it was like, oh, I had that moment watching it. It was so good.
If I may jump in, and I'm wondering, because every role you take, you make it so unique in yours that they have to bring you back, or you are just stand out to where you connect with like fans. How do you personally, when you get a role, come into that role to make it your own? Because you have things like Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones, Sliders, just to name a few, that you have such a unique character, and they're all so different. Because, you know, a lot of people in these day and age get typecasted. We're like, oh, we can just get him because he already knows how to do that. But if you take these three characters individually, they are so completely different, but they're so amazing that we have to have you as that character. How do you approach?
Well, first of all, thank you for that. That was very kind. I think you create different characters in a different way. I alluded to the very strange way that Lord of the Rings starts at that level and then it gets darker and darker and darker. One of the things that Peter Jackson and I talked about was making the character the lightning rod, if you like. The lightning rod, it's easy for me to say, the lightning rod to discharge tension, the character that makes us smile and laugh. So you partly shape the character within the framework of what is written as well. So it's partly what the script needs, partly what the director wants. There are times when a director doesn't know what he wants. I've worked with two directors like that, and it becomes every man for himself. Very, very difficult. But that was part of the business of Gimli. We also had the thing that the Shire is an idealized pre-Arthurian, mythic England that Tolkien lived and imagined. And we knew that the Shire people had to have that West Country sort of roll to their name. You know, they were a little bit like that, you know. And So really, we knew that the elves, because Tolkien writes about it, have a rhythm and a lyricism that is akin to the Welsh. And Welsh, I'm not a Welsh-speaking Welshman, I'm afraid, but the Welsh have a great incantatory language. The Lord's Prayer in Wales, the first lines of the prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, I'm tired, a ruith on a nevoith." Now that isn't just prayer. That is the conjuration of the spirit, you know. That is magic in its magnificence and its strange power, and we needed that for the elves. And so my choice was either Irish, and we didn't want to do, you know, Irish, Southern Irish, you know, make him like that, because, you know, everybody can do that, and anyway, you know, it's a bit boring. Now you could have gone to Northern Ireland, where it's more guttural like that. And we didn't want the Highland refineness, the true eloquence of an Edinburgh Scotsman. But Glasgow was more like it in the back of the throat, you know, and a sort of that slightly street Glasgow can be very aggressive. And we wanted that as part of Gimli's personality. So that character is really created out of the needs of the script and the thing. Salah, well, Stephen wanted a combination of the character I'd played in Shogun and Falstaff. So I immediately had to find something different. Max Arturo is the hardest thing for a writer is to create someone more intelligent than them. Mm-hmm. When you're creating genius, when you're writing genius, if you're not a genius, you've got a bit of a problem. So one had to find a character that was intellectually very powerful, skeptical, rational, and yet being obliged to open his eyes to the fact that this talented young student, you know, had found a way of creating and entering alternate universes, and then we were in it, and encountering in a universe, an alternate universe of the most extraordinary people and blistering idiots as well. I don't know. I guess if it's well written,
yeah,
you know, the character comes to life, doesn't it? Sorry, that was a
no. I'm just in awe of just here listening to you. But we do have to come to an end, sadly. I wish I could sit here for three more hours. They're telling me. But as we come to an end, okay. we do know that the new Indiana Jones is coming out. In a short phrase, should we see it? Are you excited for us to see
the premiere in LA on the 14th of June? You know, I'm still bound by secrecy. I'm not even meant to tell you that I'm in it. But since the trailer. Since I'm
in the trailer.
I saw you in the trailer.
That person is not me.
Well, somebody looks an awful lot like you, and he sounds like you, and he does a very good job of you.
Yep.
You can't have any imitations.
A pig with lipstick on, you mean.
There's no imitators for you, sir. There's nobody that can replace you.
But what I can say is I think the script is very good. Harrison is Indiana Jones. The film is about Indiana Jones. The other cast members are all in their way brilliant and superb. The director, Mangold, and he is an extraordinarily good director. He's the only actually... I had to tell him when he was trying to persuade me to be in the darn thing that I'd seen Ford v. Ferrari three times, and I think that was the only film of that year or two that I watched and rewatched because it was just beautifully shot and directed. I think it's going to be a great hit. I'm not sure that it'll ever top the first one. But then...
What does?
What does, yeah.
Well, you heard it here from the legendary John Rhys Davis. Go see the new Indiana Jones movie, and he cannot say if he's in it or not. Maybe we saw him in the trailer, maybe we didn't, but we are all going to go see this together. We're very excited. Mr. Davis, thank you so much for joining us on this stage. We are so privileged.
Also, make sure you come down here tomorrow. Stop by his booth. He's signing all day tomorrow, too. Make sure you come down. Get a photo op with him. Get a signature from him here down at ICCC. Thanks, guys, for coming.
We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our show. Please visit ecpctv.com for information about our show and how to follow us on this epic journey. Stay eclectic. End program.